Hello and welcome to another episode of Big Sad Fun, a sports podcast where we talk about what's big, sad, and fun in the world of sports. My name is James Johnson. I'm here with
Edward Dickey.
Edward,
how are we doing? It's been a little while.
It's been a couple weeks, but it's better than last time.
Yeah, you know, we're getting better, folks.
we're getting better. We get better, then we get worse, then we get better. But
well,
here we are.
We just really got to keep our listeners on our toes.
You know,
I found the best way to grow is to just piss off all your listeners.
I know that's exactly what we're going
and,
for.
And you know, do not have any rhythm. Whenever you get something going, just blow it up.
That's exactly right.
That's how you grow. Everyone knows that.
That business model is working out pretty well for us right now. But today
there
we're going to talk
about dozens of listeners.
Today we've got lots of stories to cover, a lot of stuff. You know, we talk about this being sports drought. We're going to talk about that here in a little bit. But for being a sports drought, there's a lot going on in sports, including
there weirdly is.
Including our first big of the day, which was the All-Star game last night.
Yeah.
We are in the midst of the All-Star break. I don't know when this podcast will go up. This might have been a month ago. But as of today, July 12th, Wednesday, July 12th, the All-Star game was last night. And it was
a good game.
It was a good game. It was fun.
Yeah. I mean, the NL won for the first time in 10 years.
That's pretty cool.
Which it's one of the, like, I don't know how that happens.
Well, one team wins for nine straight years. That's how it happens. Yeah, one team is actually better than the other.
But, like, I don't know. It's weird that there was a consistent run there.
Yeah.
Like, you would think an All-Star game would be fairly...
Would be fairly balanced, right?
Yeah, and it's not like there's just been one...
Do you think it's reflective of actual talent in the different leagues? Do you think that the American League has had just that much better talent for 10 years? Or is this just complete chance?
Honestly, I think it's just kind of complete chance. Like... You could maybe make the argument with Shohei, but like he hadn't been there for 10 years.
There was a run. This is kind of off topic, but there was a run where the NFC went on like a 12 or 15 year streak of winning Super Bowls.
Oh,
I thought you were going to say
the Pro Bowl. I'm like,
no one
cares.
No, no, no. From the middle of the 80s until like the Denver Broncos won the Super Bowl in 97 or 98. It was like 10 or 15.
Oh,
it was 15 or. That was like, I don't know. It was like 12 or 15 years.
I've literally never knew that.
NFC won. The NFC East won four straight.
Really?
Yeah. When the Washington Giants and then two by the Cowboys.
Nice.
In the early 90s. But anyway, that was a long time ago, and it gives me a reason to talk about the Dallas Cowboys winning the Super Bowl, which is one of the things that I think about very often. But anyway, so last night's game was fun. We had, the Braves had
eight
All-Stars in the game last night.
Now, they didn't all play, but they all were elected to be All-Stars.
That is
got
to be close to being a record of some kind, doesn't it?
I mean, it's a franchise record.
How's it not like a Major League Baseball record?
Might have had like their whole pitching staff at some point.
Is
like,
that right?
I mean, obviously there has to have been more at some point.
Right.
But that's still, it's wildly impressive.
Do you think there's anybody that got left off that should have been included other than...
For the Braves?
For the Braves, yeah.
No.
No, they got everybody.
I mean, the only guy you could kind of make the argument for would be Michael Harris, but he kind of sucked at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
And then you could also say the same thing about Ozuna's, like, because he's gotten hot recently.
Gotten hot.
But he was... so terrible at the beginning of the year that
it's gonna take a while for people to remember that he's even a baseball player.
Yeah, well, yeah,
to some degree, I would imagine,
because I mean, he was hitting like 75,
and now he might be the best DH in baseball.
How did that happen?
How does that happen? Who even knows?
Baseball is a weird sport, man.
So the All-Star break is upon us, which means we are halfway through the season, or even a little bit more than half, I think.
And you know, honestly, I think. The MLB does one of the better All-Star weekends.
Yeah, talk to me about it. Like, because here's what we were talking about this before we went on air, and I find all the All-Star games or Pro Bowl games or whatever kind of games, I find them to be kind of pointless and useless. There was a time a few years ago when the All-Star game was about...
Yeah, who got home? That was weird.
But it gave us some kind of thing. But then there's also the time where they tied, and I was like, I don't know what to do with this. Sometimes it's a cool thing, and sometimes it's like, that's not baseball.
Yeah, so, let's let the second baseman pitch. That annoyed me. But it's just a weird thing with baseball where you can actually get the best players to actually try in a game.
Why do you think that is? Because it doesn't take much athletic skill?
I think there's very little.
That was a joke.
But I had a thought, and if I didn't say it, then it was. I think there's very little chance for injury.
Yeah.
And also,
it's not athletic,
like,
again, I mean, that's a problem.
But you don't want to you don't want to look stupid giving up a crazy home run if you're a pitcher.
Right.
So you, like, you might as well throw some crazy pitches.
Yeah.
You know?
So maybe there's a little bit of a...
But also I think, like, and Peyton Manning said this because he's trying to fix the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
There's something good about, like, letting the young players get around, like, vets from other teams, like, stars from other teams, and letting them all... Because, like, Peyton said that he saw it with, like, Edgerrin James.
Sure.
Like, you know, whoever the running back before Edgerrin James was, like, him learning from that guy at the Pro
Bowl.
Emmitt
Smith.
Probably.
Yeah.
But, and he's like, so there's something to be said about that, but I don't know why, but baseball just seems to have the most compelling game.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, the NBA weekend's fun. Like, the dunk contest can be fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, some of the stuff around it's fun. But the game is not at all competitive.
No,
that's,
it's not.
It's like sometimes 200
it does get,
to 200.
Sometimes it does get fun.
It gets fun
last,
like,
last
in the fourth
minutes,
quarter.
Yeah,
yeah,
last 5 minutes or so.
But, I mean, for the most part, you have, like, Steph Curry dunking.
But you which, do have, you're right that you do have a game that is somewhat bearable to watch. And mm-hmm. it is kind of fun to see these guys out there having a good time. They're
yeah.
all mic'd up and everything. I will say this. Like, I think the Home Run Derby might be the best of all of the different
yeah.
things that you can do.
And I think the way they're doing it right now is so wild, like
yeah.
with it being like a timed thing.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's more of an endurance test.
Yeah.
Than,
you had that one
how,
guy.
How many hacks can you take in in about 35 seconds?
Yeah, that one guy hit like 41 home runs in the second round or something like that. It was insane.
Oh, yeah.
And then Vlad won the whole thing.
Vlad Jr. Vlad Sr. is one of my favorite players
right.
of all time. So I love watching Vlad Jr. And you don't get to see him other than the All-Star break.
They're the first father-son duo to win the Home Run Derby.
Really?
Yep. That's the first one they ever
Interesting.
Do it. So there's something for
so
you.
So Griffey Sr. ever won it?
Nope. I guess not.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I saw something from, I believe it was either Japan or Korea, what they do in the for their All-Star
like,
week.
Does it involve like Hello Kitty?
No.
I know that's a big thing in Japan. I've seen that in movies and stuff.
The bunt off.
Oh, yeah.
I want to see that so bad.
That, like, would be fun.
It's like a big target.
Yeah.
Like almost like shuffleboard.
Yeah.
But you, like, you're bunting to try and get it.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I would like to play that, actually.
Yeah. It looks like a lot of fun. It's something that I think it's one of those just like goofy games that would be interesting to see.
Sure.
Here.
Sure.
But yeah, no, I mean, it was good. And, you know, I think, and now we got a little bit of break. Baseball comes back Friday.
Before we get on,
so
move
we have
on
the,
to that, though, anything stick out from the game that you wanted to talk about? Anything in particular?
Oh, so, yeah. Thank you. so there was a bet, like, you could place. It was 10-1
yeah.
for Ronald Acuna to have a home run, double, or triple in the first inning. And so he got a hold of that. I didn't place the bet,
okay.
but he got a hold of that one. I'm like, oh, God, it's going. And then he kind of like, gah! But then, like, you know, I also thought Freeman hitting one to the other opposite side.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that one getting caught, too, was pretty wild.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, it's a fun game to watch.
And, again,
but I also think it's ridiculous people are betting on the All-Star game.
Well, people bet on everything.
Yeah, but
people
that's...
People bet on how long this podcast is going to be, over or under. You know, like 25 or 30 minutes.
Hey, if
so.
Anybody wants to get at me, I can make that happen.
Bet.
Yeah. I am very easy to buy.
The last thing we need is the FCC coming down on us.
The FCC won't let me be.
Let me be.
I couldn't remember the next line.
All right, Eminem. Thank you. Shout out to Eminem. So we do have a little bit of break until the games are back on Friday. The Braves look really good. Best
yeah.
record in baseball right now.
It's going to be interesting to see how the next
60
half
wins.
Goes.
60
yeah.
wins.
It's wild. And
there were times when the Braves only go in 60 games in the whole
wasn't
season.
It wasn't that long ago.
And it wasn't that long ago. And now you've got arguably the best team in baseball. By record-wise, you do have the best team in baseball. How are you feeling as a Braves fan as we enter into the second half?
So, cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Because we've been here before.
Do you feel like, here's what I was wondering.
Early 2000s, we were always the best regular season
yeah,
team.
You guys won like 14 or 15 divisions in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, that's great. That's awesome.
And a lot of I don't know, this is very reminiscent of a lot of those teams.
Yeah.
And so that's why, I understand
that's
we
fair.
Won a World Series recently, so I shouldn't be.
That's fair.
But,
you know, you're an Atlanta fan,
so
you're always a little burned, always a little apprehensive, always a little bitter.
Well, there was a long time of great regular season and then just everything collapsing the postseason.
Yeah.
And I heard an interesting question, and you not being a Braves fan makes this a weird question to pose to you.
Yeah, let's do it.
But whatever, we're doing
this now. I'm slowly becoming a Braves fan. My conversion rate
is...
If we don't win
the World Series this year, is this year a failure?
Well...
And I think, like...
So...
It's... I think you got to kind of have the context for how it ends.
I think you do, too. I think a lot of it depends on how well you guys play toward the end.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say this. All right, so I'm on two schools of thought about this particular issue. The first is from the fan's perspective. I think for the diehard fan, any season that you don't win the championship, it's a failure.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do what you set out to do. You didn't do what you came to cheer for people to do. And so at some level, it is a failure. Now, you might have had a good season,
mm-hmm.
might have been a good failure, but it was a failure altogether.
On some level, it was a failure.
But from the perspective of like the players, this is their profession.
Yeah.
This is what they do for a living. And they're not always going to win championship. And if you have that mentality, like if I don't win the championship, it was a failure, you're going to have some psychological issues.
It's going to be a tough life. Yeah.
I mean, like, just think about that in any other avenue of life. Like, if you don't do the absolute best you could possibly do amongst other competitors yeah. that are against you, you have failed.
If you aren't the single greatest at your job.
Exactly. But that's the thing. So I mean, obviously, I hold us to that high standard of if we're not the best podcast, sports podcast out there, then we're failures. But I'm okay
with being a failure.
Those are the two schools of thoughts I have.
Yeah.
And I think about this in terms of like any professional athlete. Like I used to have this mentality. I think Matt Ryan had this mentality. I think Tony Romo had this mentality where they're going to go out and play the best they can because they're getting paid to do that.
Yeah.
But winning the Super Bowl was not actually the primary goal of their existence. It was to go out and play well and to do the best
and
they could.
But also, like, there's 32 other teams that are trying to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, I don't know. To answer your question, is it going to be a failure if you guys don't win? I think it's going to be a disappointment.
I think it's going
to... I don't know if failure is the right word.
Like, I think if we go 7 games with the Dodgers and, you know, lose in extra innings in the 7th, like, okay, you know, we didn't make enough plays, but whatever.
Right,
like,
right.
But if we get, like, swept by the Padres...
like you know, the 98 Braves?
Yeah, then like, you know, that's a much different...
Have so you I, heard that song, the 98
yeah,
Braves?
Yeah,
yeah. That's good. That's a good song. Shout out to whoever wrote that song. Well done. I think the way it looks right now, you guys are on upper swing. The one thing that I wanted to ask you about that was, as a Braves fan, so this is not a weird question to ask you. When you were on such a run, you guys are like, what, 23-2 or 23 or something
like
that?
Yeah.
When you're on such a run, doesn't the All-Star break become like a distraction and like a, well, now we got to rev the engine back up?
A little bit. But it also was like good to see all of our guys, like, you know, seeing the full Braves infield.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was cool.
Ron Washington said that was one of his proudest moments.
Yeah. That's
which is
good.
Cool.
Yeah.
But
good to see Ron Washington being proud again.
Yeah. Big fan of Ron.
Yeah.
Of good old Wash. But yeah, I mean, I know, and I think it's going to depend on how we, like, if we come out flat, then definitely.
Yeah.
On Friday when we come back.
Yeah. That's going to be the tell, I guess.
Yeah. But
well, I have a lot of faith in you guys. I think you're going to be great.
I do too.
And I'm coming around to being a Braves fan.
You've been here long enough.
I'm a Cubs fan at heart. But when the Cubs won the World Series back in 2016, that kind of like it gave me some closure on that. And so from that point on, I have been growing closer and closer to the Braves simply because this is the only team I hear about around here. Atlanta doesn't do anything as far as like all the sports programs here are all about the Braves or all about the Falcons. They don't talk about anybody else. And when they do, it's derision.
Yeah.
So.
We're the only team.
I know, but
like,
you know what you're saying.
You know,
like, come on, give me some of the national news. But anyway, so I am coming around to being a Braves fan, and we'll see. We'll see how that goes. But I have a lot of hope and a lot of faith. But here's the thing: no matter how well the Braves do the rest of the season, there's one newspaper that's not going to be covering it.
I was wondering where this is going. I was like, there's a transition.
And here's our sad for the week: the New York Times. All the news is fit to print. The New York Times, the most prestigious newspaper in all of America, maybe in all the world, has decided to completely drop their sports section from their paper. They've transferred the whole thing over to the Atlantic.
The Athletic.
Which is not part of the New York Times. It's owned by the New York Times,
yeah,
but it's
and
not.
The Athletic does a good job.
They do.
It's a paid subscription, and
yeah.
I got the, you know, 1 month that was a dollar, and
yeah.
I'm not re-upping that.
But I'm saying now
you get the
newspaper. Now, nobody gets newspapers anymore. I understand that. But there's a certain level. There's a certain – your dad maybe gets newspapers,
yeah.
right?
And
he listens to this podcast.
Yeah.
So you got your dad out there. They're going to open up the newspaper, and they're going to go to the sports section to see what's going on in sports.
And
there's
going to
be nothing there.
Well, and it's also like –
That's a sad day in America.
Yeah.
Sports journalism. It's sad, like, in the toilet.
But like more people are watching sports than ever.
Right.
Which is, but I guess like they've kind of found that you can, like, people will still consume a lesser quality product. You know, like, if there's an article written about the Falcons, I'm going to read it.
Are you talking about the fans of this podcast?
Yes.
Yeah.
but, you know, like, I don't need, like, a great journalist, like, the average person, especially right. with, like, the, and also, it's like, you don't really get paid for the content of the article.
Yeah.
You get paid for the click.
Right.
Which so is where, is, I mean, I guess it's just how the kind of the industry's going.
A natural evolution to what we've seen happening to newspapers in general, which is that everything's going online. New York Times is just doing
what everybody, everyone does.
And I know I heard a report that, you know, this is what The Athletic set out to do. You know, they said, you know, 5, 6, 7 years ago when they became a big thing, they're like, our plan is to end, like, basically the sports section of all newspapers. And look at this. They've killed giant.
Yeah.
They've killed Goliath. And here we are.
Well, but the other thing, like, and, you know, I mean, I guess this is also kind of tied to everybody getting fired from ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's, there's so many other, like, avenues.
You're right.
Like, people covering sport, like, I mean, we have a podcast.
We have a podcast. Like, two random guys.
And we're absolute idiots. but, like, the barriers to entry.
Yeah, I know, right?
The barriers to entries are so low that it's, I mean, I don't know. It's sad, though.
And then you got the Pat McAfee model, right? You got other people who are covering sports, but doing it in such a way as it's almost like, I think one of the things that attracts people to Pat McAfee, we're both huge fans, is that there's almost like a covering the sports with your friends kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right? It's like they're just hanging out and talking about sports, not really doing in-depth coverage at all. So this is where I'm going, though. So, your situation where, like, this whole thing that's happening with Dan Snyder and the Commanders, or the Commies, as I call them, and John Gruden. Now, we're not going to get into that today, but that's a big story.
That's a very good point.
That was reported on by actual journalists.
Which, there has to be a place for that.
Right. And I don't know if The Athletic is that place.
That's a very good point.
But that's what I'm worried about, is that the actual in-depth, there's actual real news that happens in sports.
Yeah.
Right? Just like there is in any industry, in any anything. And now I'm wondering, are people even going to be encouraged to go into journalism? So do we have the last sports journalism? Or do we have the last batch of sports journalists? This is something that I worried about a long time ago with ESPN, because you could see that slowly, over time, all their big programs like NFL, the NFL show, what was it called?
NFL Live,
Baseball Tonight, all of these other ones that they had. That you could slowly see the journalists being replaced by former players.
Yeah.
Because that's what people wanted to see. And that's, you know, there's some interest in that.
But there has to be a happy medium there. Like, you know, you have to have the guy who went to Columbia Journalism School. It's your first journalism school to think of.
Yeah.
But also, it's like an interesting insight with a former player.
Right.
And
I think that's right.
It's kind of why I like, you know, the midday show on 92.9. With Andy and Randy, because Randy's a former player and Andy's a journalist to a degree.
Yeah, that's a good
show. But that's an interesting dynamic. However, you are correct, though, that you're seeing a lot of the actual journalists get sent out by the wayside.
Right. And there's going to be a disincentive for anyone to even go into sports journalism. So we're talking, you know,
now
20 years, 30 years, we're going to have nothing but like Shannon Sharp talking about.
Something I thought about today, though, was this whole current AJC versus UGA football program thing going on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think we're going to see some real journalism going on there.
Yeah, absolutely. Also,
UGA wrote a letter like asking them to like retract all their statements. And
what's
like,
going
why would
on?
You do that?
What's going on with all of your UGA players that can't stay within the speed limit?
I don't think...
This is a speeding, bonus sad moment, by
I don't
the
think
way.
Speeding is the biggest deal in the world, personally.
Going 88 and a 55 is criminal.
I think that's a little bit of NIL. You know, they all have a charger.
Yeah, that's true.
But I do think that is a problem. Like, we got to do something about that.
Yeah.
Kirby's
going to have them turning in their keys at the beginning of the season.
I mean, it's going to be... I don't know how to fix that.
Yeah.
I've never had to coach kids that are speeding all the time, so it's going to be interesting. But that's a real issue.
These are the kind of things that we talk about during the sports drought, which is what we're in the middle of right now. And which we've been talking about how this is the dead time in sports, and you talked about people now watching like G League basketball.
People are watching. There was a sellout for Wimby's first game in the NBA, the summer
league. That's how desperate people are for. Just entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, the Summer League is the biggest joke ever.
It really is.
I mean, it's cool. You know, I do like how, you know, you draft the rookie and then immediately you get to see him playing.
You get to see him play. That is kind of cool.
But
it's not even preseason.
I'm not watching. I'll watch the highlights.
Yeah.
I'll see what, you know, the Hawks did. And I watched, you know, but they're already shutting down Wimby.
I saw that he's done.
Well, he had one terrible game and one pretty good game.
So that's pretty much what you
but
want.
But I did think it was funny, like, people who were already declaring him a bust.
After he scored, like, 2 points
and
or whatever.
And it's like, guys, it's a summer league game.
And he did look really thin out there, though.
Oh, yeah.
Man,
he's going to have to put on some weight.
He's going to have to.
Well, but also, it's like, let's get him out of Vegas.
Yeah.
Let's get him settled in San Antonio.
See, make sure he and his buddies aren't slapping around Britney Spears or whatever. You know, that's...
That was a...
That's insane.
That was one of the weirdest stories, and it's one of those where I can see, I think there is truth in the middle there.
Yeah, oh, definitely.
And it's a neither side meant ill, but it was just a funny story.
It's just one of those things that happens with people who are in the spotlight and have money and just run into each other. And when spotlights converge, sometimes there's a little bit too bright of a light.
I don't think she realized that... A 19-year-old Frenchman might not know who she is.
Might not know who Britney Spears is?
Which is wild, but yeah.
Well, maybe she literally went up and said, hey, hit me, baby, one more time. We don't know the context, right?
You just can't say that, man.
Maybe she was just saying it to herself.
Jesus.
Well, that sounds fun, but let's move on to our fun for the day. We're done talking about what's sad in the world. All right, so there's a player this year, plays for the Cincinnati Reds. Everyone's heard of him. Everyone knows who he is. He's got maybe the most fun name to say in all sports right now, Ellie De La Cruz.
Yeah.
Ellie De La Cruz.
We saw him, you being a Braves fan now.
Yeah.
When we went up there and played them. It was a great series, but when he hit for the cycle in one game, it was like, this guy is the real deal.
He is fun. Now, he hit for the cycle. He's a rookie.
Yeah.
Let's remind everybody, he's a rookie, and he hasn't played enough games to be in the All-Star game, otherwise he would have been there.
They asked him to be in the Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame? Wow, they're jumping right to it.
They asked him to be in the Home Run Derby.
Yeah.
And he kind of said, I'm good.
Yeah.
Which is, like, probably the smart move.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's a rookie. He's kind of had a whirlwind. He's like, let me take a break. Man.
He's having a lot going on in his life right now.
But that...
He's a fun player to watch. He's got a great look about him. He is... He hit for the cycle against the Braves. But the other day last week, and I don't know if enough people are talking about this, because it's one of the greatest things I've seen in the history of the world. All right? That's a big statement.
This man has seen a child be born.
This is ranked number two after that. This man hit the ball, hit a single, get him first base, uh-huh. Right? All right. Next pitch, he steals second. All right. Next pitch, he steals third. They don't even cover third.
Yeah.
And then before the next pitch, so only two pitches have been pitched.
Yeah.
He steals home. This guy stole home. He stole all three bases, or all the bases you can steal.
I think technically he can steal first, but not really.
But he steals second, third, and home. He steals three bases in like two pitches in 30 seconds.
I sent you the clip.
It has to be one of the greatest
things that's
happened.
Well, and like, there's something about like whenever you see someone stealing home, the energy just goes up.
Right.
You know, like that's just one of those cool things don't see very often.
Yeah. It just seems like it should be impossible because. This is what the pitcher's going to do is throw the ball to home, even if nobody's trying to steal it. So, yeah. Like, how is it even possible you can do that?
And I guess it was just like he caught him sleeping.
Yeah.
But the wherewithal from a rookie to realize, like, oh, I've got him sleeping.
Or maybe just the naivete. Like,
that could also.
Maybe he's just too dumb to know he shouldn't do that.
Hey, like.
But it worked.
Stay dumb, kid.
Stay dumb.
But.
Oh, it's so beautiful.
What I do like, though, with him and, like, asking him to be in the Home Run Derby. It shows that baseball is like, okay, we have a young star.
Yeah.
Let's actually try and put him in front of people and market him.
Right, right.
As opposed to like what they usually do, which is like, hey, let's stick him out and let's see if the Angels want him.
Yeah.
A team nobody watches. Nobody can watch.
Right.
But yeah, I think
Well, let me while you're talking about the Angels, let me just mention another thing that's happening that's fun this season, which is Shohei Ohtani.
Oh yeah.
Is he having the best season of all time? Is he the best baseball player of all time? Is he the most talented? What do I even say about this guy?
It's a odd conversation, but maybe.
Isn't it?
What's really going to be interesting to see is that number that he gets this offseason.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Well, because like when you think about it, you're getting a starting pitcher and a DH.
You're getting both.
Like, you're getting two players in one.
So you should get paid twice. Is that what you're saying?
Maybe.
Maybe. I've heard the number's $500 million.
But if you do that, like, you're going to get destroyed in the salary cap.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to surround him with, like,
garbage.
Minor league
and
players.
And might as well just stay at Angels.
Honestly.
I mean, at the end of the day.
And he's going to have to go to, like, New York or L.A., some team that doesn't care.
That doesn't care about paying him.
That means it's going to be interesting to see.
Really only the Dodgers or...
The Yankees.
The Yankees. And maybe the Giants. They could be in the market for something
like
that.
And, like, the Mets seem to... not care about money, although it has not worked for him this year.
Do you think there's any thought? No, we don't know Shohei obviously very well personally.
I've never met him.
I don't know what he's thinking, but a couple of factors that might be out there, you know, Ichiro, he was a big fan of Ichiro, played for Seattle for so long, so maybe there's a draw to Seattle for some reason.
I can see that.
Or maybe he just wants to win. He wants to win a World Series, and in that case, I think the Braves are on the market.
Yeah, that'd be. And now, obviously, as a Braves fan, do you want Patrick Mahomes to go to the Cowboys? Like,
no, I don't. No,
like of course.
I got Dak Prescott. I don't need Patrick Mahomes.
I mean, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely,
it's gonna be.
Do you want to see AA at least make a try, make a shot?
I mean, I think all general managers are going to.
Yeah.
Now, do you think that they let him finish the year, or do you think he's a trade deadline?
Oh, that's fascinating. I hadn't thought about that.
Because, like, if you're the Angels, you can get...
A lot.
You can replenish your farm system.
That's what you need to do. Because obviously you're not going to trade him to try to win anything.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know why replenish your farm system if you're just not going to do what you're doing now anyway? You've already got two of the best players in the history of the game.
But, like, if they're trying to kind of move on from that...
Yeah, we like to move on from the best players in the history
of the game. Well, it hasn't worked for them. You know, like...
Nothing's working. They need to shut that franchise down.
Disney, man, they're not going to.
Well, they need to sell it to Pepsi or something.
They need an overhaul in the front office.
They do.
But you know, like, man. But that's an interesting concept. Is do they try and trade him at trade deadline?
That.
And
I
think it like it's going to depend on how they. Well, especially now that Trout's hurt.
Yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see how.
What they do,
but like they kind of went on a little bit of a run there in the middle, so we'll see.
We'll see.
They're a fun team to watch just because it's was how is this happening?
Exactly right. Well, I think that's about all we got.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to talk about Chiefaholic at all?
Nah, I think we're good.
Hey, if you haven't heard about Chiefaholic, just Google it.
Yeah, he's a big Chiefs fan who robbed a bunch of banks
so that he could afford to go to Chiefs games.
Seemingly, yeah, and like was. On a FBIs of multiple states were after this
he's
guy.
He's been caught. The news.
The world's a safer place.
The world's a safer place. Chiefaholic is behind.
And he's doing all with the bars. Guns. That's gonna be a lot of time.
He's gonna be gone for a while.
He's not going
to any Chiefs games.
No,
for a
he's
while.
Gonna be watching him in prison. They give you a little TV.
Oh my gosh! All right, well, Edward, thanks for joining us today, guys.
Thank you for
joining us. Join us on Twitter. We might be on Threads soon. I don't know.
Yeah, we gotta figure that out.
I don't know what our feeling is about that yet. But thanks, guys, for joining us, and we'll see you next week.
Peace.